Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Turn to Matthew chapter 11. And I'm just going to go through this chapter really quick and not probably get real deep into some areas, but I want to draw your attention to it. I want to draw your gaze to Matthew chapter 11. It's a powerful chapter, and it speaks about a lot of things, but it speaks about a generation that's going to be functioning in the day that the Lord returns. And he mentions it several times, Jesus does. And of course, this is about also John. John was already in captivity and getting ready to be beheaded for his faith. And he asked a few questions, John did. And we also bring up a little bit through the chapter about spiritual violence, that the kingdom of God advances through spiritual violence, and the violent take it by force. And what does that really mean? What is it talking about? So let's just look at Matthew chapter 11 and start with verse 1. It says, when Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and to preach the word in their cities. Now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, are you the expected one? You see, John was in a rough way, and of course, he was the one, the messenger, that brought the message about Christ coming. And so you can imagine, he was in a bad state, and he says, are you the one? Or shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said to them, said, go back and tell John this. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. I want you to look at that last phrase there, verse 6. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me. The reason I want to draw your attention to that line is because you are blessed if you move in the movement of God's word and God's purpose for your life. When you move in the way that God has lined things up, the things that are going to take place, he says, blessed are you that you're not offended in me. Now, you think about this, that many people are offended at Jesus today, right? I mean, they don't like the name of Jesus, and many people come against the name of Jesus and come against Christ himself. And so we're living in a time that when you speak the name of Jesus, people get upset. Many of you know you can say God, but as soon as you start talking about Jesus, things begin to change. An environment changes in the room or in the conversation if you're with someone that is standing against it. So in this day that we're living in, when we're living wholeheartedly for the ways of God and saying yes to him, we have to make sure that we're walking in the fullness of what he's called us to do. And he said, blessed are those who take no offense to him. Because Jesus is going to move through you in a mighty, mighty way. And probably many of you are going to offend people because of how you stand for the Lord. And how you forgot to turn your cell phone off. No, just kidding. But many, this is what's taking place right now in our lives. I mean, we've got to stand firm for truth. You see, people can stand for truth for a certain period of time, but right now the truth is becoming hugely unpopular, isn't it? It's being unpopular. I mean, if you stand for what the Word of God is saying and you don't compromise it, you're drawing a line in the sand. And as I've said many different times, you know, you're no longer PC, politically correct. You become BC, biblically correct, and people don't like that. They don't like it. And so even in this day, Jesus is warning, because the generation of Jesus' return, many things are going to take place. Many things are going to be shaken. Only in his word, what remains will be of his word and of him. Everything else will be shaken. Everything. That means the flesh. Everything we do in the flesh or we try to build in the flesh is going to be shaken to the core. But those things that will remain are the things that are in the word and in the Lord. And so I'm encouraging you tonight to say, live for him fully and absolutely. Do not draw back. Stand firm. Here's another little truth. When you begin to stand firm for Christ in a hostile environment, you begin to see God move on your behalf. If you never stand firm in a hostile environment, you don't get to see God move on your behalf. God is wanting your faith to arise in this hour. He's wanting you to stand firm. He's wanting me to stand firm and not compromise the truth. And so we are a chosen generation of the return of the Lord. We don't know when that's going to happen. Nobody knows the hour of the day. The Father does. But we know it could be 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. We don't know. But he said, when you see all these things happening simultaneously, you know that the day is approaching. The season is at hand. Even this morning, as I was reading about the three Israeli young men that died, and they found them, and some of the things that were taking place, I started looking at a few other videos regarding some things that have been said regarding this issue, and I happened to come across a video of a leader in the ISIS, which is this Muslim group that is moving strongly through Iraq and through Syria, and he was boasting, and he spoke really good English, and he was boasting about their advancement and how they have overcome many borders. Matter of fact, he was at a border crossing of Iraq, and he was showing all these patches of the Iraqi soldiers. They pulled them off and threw them in the dirt and ran. And he said they ran like cowards, and they ripped off their patches and they ran like cowards. And the guy said, he goes, now we have taken this border, and we have many more borders to cross, and we will cross these. I mean, they're very militant. They believe that they're going to do this, and things are heating up in that region, of course. He says, we have many more borders to cross. And at the end, he says, we will cross every border until we finally cross the border that leads us into Jerusalem. I mean, that was just spoken a couple days ago. And so you see things heating up. We see that we're in a time that it's never been like this before. Of course, 1948, we know Israel became a nation. Things begin to shift. Things begin to change. And now they have probably the second most powerful air force in the globe. Israel does. And Israel is not going to stand for what's just happened. They're not going to stand for it. I can tell you this. One of the big things, and some of you heard me say this before, when I was in Israel, I couldn't believe how many people were hitchhiking, especially young people. And the guy said, oh, they hitchhike all the time because no one touches our children. They know what would happen to them if they touch our children. I was like, wow, it was hard to believe. And the fact is, that's why you've seen them go so hard after capturing the people that took their three children. And now they killed them. You think they're going to sit by? Things are heating up. We're in a generation that the Lord, is returning. So he said, and blessed is he who does not take offense to me. Verse 7, as these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John the Baptist. What did you go out to see into the wilderness? To see a reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Those who wear soft clothing are in kings' palaces. This guy wasn't. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? And Jesus responds, yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. Verse 10, he says, this is the one about whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. I want to stop right there just for a moment. The spirit of John the Baptist is on many of you. And there is a generation, I believe, that have the spirit of John the Baptist that are going to proclaim and be messengers of truth at the end of the age. They're not going to compromise. They're going to stand. And it's many of you in this room. And you're going to stand for truth. You see, John was the one, prepare the way for the Lord is coming. Then the Lord came. This generation is the generation that says, prepare the way for the Lord's return. The king is coming. The bridegroom conquering king is coming back. And this generation will proclaim that. And I believe that same boldness will be on you. I can't stand complacency. I can't stand it in my own life when I become complacent and I begin to almost get bored sometimes. The Lord wants us to stir ourselves up every opportunity and chance we've got to be walking in faithfulness, to be walking in the fire of John the Baptist. That same fire. Tonight when we were singing about, you know, sound the alarm, that alarm is being sounded throughout the entire world. It's being sounded right now in this room. Oh, this is just a little room in Concord Mall in Elkhart, Indiana. God sees absolutely everything, and God is rising up an army that will not shrink back, but that will stand firm. And when the light begins to move forward and come out, because it says that light and darkness are going to rise together, and when that begins to happen, wherever there is light, there's going to be safety. Wherever there is light, there is going to be safety. You're going to know that the Lord is with you. But regions and cities and nations that choose to live in darkness, the darkness is going to arise in such a way that the fear that will come over them will be amazing. So why do we even do this little house of prayer in here? So that there's light going up continuously of prayer and worship in this region. We pray continuously for Michiana, for this area, for God to do something. And I can't wait till he just causes everyone in this room your jaws to drop. I can't wait for that day. When you just go, oh, and he's here and his presence. He has promised the most powerful outpouring ever in the history of the Word of God in the latter day harvest of God. He's promised that. And Jesus is not a liar. It's going to happen. Stir yourself. Challenge yourself each and every day to go deeper in the ways of God. Don't be satisfied with status quo. Go deeper in the ways of God. Push yourself away from religion and push yourself into the area of intimacy with God. That you know that he's with you, that you're with him. God is establishing beachheads of his presence. And it's happening. It's happening all over the world. There are pockets of light. And there's people crying out. And everybody knows the end of the book of Revelation. If you read that last verse, it says that the Spirit is resting on the bride. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come, Lord Jesus, come. The Holy Spirit is resting not only in, but all around. And we're consumed with the presence of God. And we're living in the presence of God. We're a people of his presence. We're a people of his fire. And that's what we have available to us that's coming. But if we shrink back into some sort of pity or you know, there's the tree of life and then there's the tree of self, which is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God is wanting us to live grafted into the tree of life and not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I don't know it all. Neither do you. But I do know one thing. That if I'm to make it through these days and the days ahead, I've got to be an amazing lover of God, and I've got to allow God to love me. And I've got to live in that place of love. I heard this said the other day. Hopefully I can pull it back to memory. I don't care what people say about me because it's none of my business. Think about it. I don't care what people say about me because it's none of my business. You get it? It's none of my business. That's between them and God. I got to live for the Lord and go forward in the ways of God. It's none of my business. They can say whatever they want to. I don't need to hear it. I don't need to hear it. We are in a time. And I am just believing and knowing that it won't be long. It won't be long. Please, Lord. That the power and the presence of God is so manifested in our meetings, in our lives, in our homes, in our regions, that I just can't wait for my jaw to drop, your jaw to drop, and to see people that thought he wasn't who he said he was, see their jaws dropping because they walk in by a place like this, and probably they're going to be everywhere. Like this, and they walk by, and they're walking in the mall, and they feel something, they hear something. The next thing you know, they kind of make their way through the front two doors, then they make their way through this door, and they walk smack dab into the presence of God. The other day, Monday morning, I walked in here. I was a little late getting to the house of prayer. There was a worship team up here. They were just, it was wonderful. They were in the presence of God. I walked in here, and the only way I could illustrate it was this. I walked into a cloud and a brick wall at the same time. I walked into a cloud of his presence, and boom, it hit me like this. I was like, whoa, how refreshing. And they were gone. They could care less who was in the room. They're like this. They're up there. And it was beautiful. It was wonderful. People are going to walk by places of fire, places that God has put his finger on, that he's given them a promise, and the Shekinah glory is going to be in the midst. And people are going to come in, and they're going to get instantaneously healed. I don't want to be an immature Christian and have to have a healing for me to believe. I want to live so much in the presence of God that when the healings come, I just rejoice, man. I just have a blast. Because God's kingdom has come and his will is here. It has a lot to do with courage. It has a lot to do with that. To be courageous in the ways of God and to stand for him. John the Baptist was courageous. He knew that he was set in motion by God. Okay. Verse 11. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. So Jesus is making a very, very powerful statement. I mean, he's saying more than Isaiah, Abraham. I mean, no one. And he's saying John the Baptist. Why? I didn't know he did all that. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. What does that mean? The one who's least in the kingdom of heaven. John the Baptist had the Holy Spirit moving him and around him. You and I have the Holy Spirit, God, living in us. That's what that scripture is speaking about. The least in the kingdom will be greater because of how we have the Holy Spirit abiding and living in us. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and violent men and women take it by force. Violent men and women. What is violent men and women? Violent men and women are wholehearted men and women who are absolutely lovesick with Jesus, and they are totally abandoned onto the things of Christ. When they show up in certain regions or areas, the kingdom begins to move through spiritual violence because they carry the reflection and the image of Christ within their lives. They're wholehearted lovers and abandoned unto the things of God. And spiritual violence begins to move forth, and the kingdom begins to move forth because they won't take no for an answer. They stand up and they say yes. The Lord has really been telling me this here lately, and please don't stop coming. But he's been saying, you know, you need to just cut service maybe sometime Sunday morning in half or on Tuesday night and just say, hey, guys, let's go out in the mall. Let's go get them. Let's go. Like, what? Yeah. Let's the kingdom go forward. Let's go out in the mall. Let's go out in the street. Who wants to take Big R? I'll take King Euros. I like that place. Good barbecue. Well, you know, let's go. Let's do it. I mean, this is how we need to live and act and be all the time. This is how we need to be. We need to just take every advantage. Now, listen. I said the other day that, you know, that the principle of binding here on earth, well, you can't bind anything at all if it's not bound in your own private life. If it's not bound in your own private life, you're not going to bind anything. And so God is wanting us to really examine our lives and allow our lives to be fully for him. You see, there's been some wild, biblically, there's some wild things that's going to take place and things we're going to see. But see, right now, a lot of darkness and principalities and powers and demons are under control to a certain degree. I know they're under huge control because if they had their way, there's nothing but hatred and evil within them. And I've been in the presence of many of them, and there's nothing but just evil and hatred. And so if they had their way, every one of you would be dead. You don't believe that? I do. But they're held at bay because God holds them at bay. And of course, 1 John 4:4 was the first scripture I taught my boys. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. To know that, to live that, to believe that, to walk in faith by that. And so there's coming a time that I believe many things are going to manifest far more. Darkness is going to arise, but light is going to increase. Matter of fact, maybe you'll just be walking in a store or something, and because of the light that's increased in you, that people will manifest or come up to you and just start, you know, cussing you out or telling you that, you know, you need to be dead. If that happens, rejoice. If somebody curses you because you walk for Christ, rejoice. Hello. Thank you. Thank you. Intimidation by fear is always the enemy's strategy to intimidate you. And sometimes we have the most hokey way of going about dealing with them. I've told this story many times. One time I was in India, and one pastor was trying to beat the demon out of a woman that was at the front, and she was manifesting with his Bible, and he was beating her in the head. In Jesus' name, beating her in the head. And my friend and I said, And we got up there and was able to deal with it and rejoicing. I love the story because when Jesus came, she took the little dot off her forehead and she threw it because she had it on her forehead and she threw it and she received Jesus and she began to cry and she began to weep. And man, that was just an awesome night. And it was an awesome night for all the people that gathered there because they seen just that, you know what? Your authority does not increase over your volume. If you know who you are, you know who you are. And many times I think demons are just sitting back, you know, eating popcorn and saying, these guys don't know who they are. And when you know who you are, you stir things up. And so I want to encourage you to know who you are and to be able to stand firm and deal with that stuff. Don't get all, you know, you might get freaked out. I remember the first time a demon manifested, I was, you know, kind of looking down and, you know, hoping that someday I'd be able to walk in this kind of authority, and all of a sudden it manifested. And I remember almost falling off my chair and, you know, opening my book and saying, okay, what's step 2, step 2, step 3, you know. I remember that day. I can tell you, it happened. Matter of fact, you want to know where it happened? It happened in that Concord Cinema over there in one of the offices. I was like, oh, wow. And then when I seen, I had authority, and it listened, and it moved, and it left, and Jesus came. What kind of night do you think I had? I thought I was just, oh, my. And that's another place that you need to watch, because when you start exercising your authority and you're not humble, God will set you up to get you humble. And he did. About 6 months to a year later, he set me up. And that's another story for another time. But I was humbled by that. Right, Deanna? I called Deanna right away and Dan Thorolson, I think, right away and said, you guys got to pray. You know? I was set up, but it was good. I know you say, how can that be? Yeah, it was good. Anyway, getting back on track here. What was the last verse that I said? Help me. Oh, spiritual violence. Okay, verse 13. Got 10 minutes. Hang in there. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, John himself is Elijah, who was to come in the spirit of Elijah. He who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. But now look at verse 16. This is very powerful because this is going to affect you and me. And you got to pray that this doesn't happen. It says, but to what shall I compare this generation? This generation that had the opportunity that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was there. He was on the scene. This generation. He said, but what do I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces. My children, my people, they didn't even know who call out to the other children and say, we played a flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge for you and you did not mourn. What does that mean? It means this. That generation had Jesus there. They played a tune on the flute. They should have been dancing and rejoicing in the streets that Jesus the Messiah has come. He's here. Because when it came down to it, very few people were still there with Jesus. Everybody had left. They should have been dancing in the streets, in the marketplace, the flute, and you didn't dance. We gave you an opportunity to dance. God is giving you an opportunity in this generation, the generation of the Lord's return, to dance before the Lord. It's not weird. It's not bad. Dance and rejoice in the ways of God because of what God's doing. And then he says, we sang a dirge for you and you did not mourn. What does that mean? It means this. We sang a dirge. We told you about your sinful state. We told you that hell is on your path and you didn't get it. You didn't even mourn over your sin. You had no clue that I am the way, the truth, and the life. That I am the one that will make a way for you. And so we tried to sing a dirge for you, and you didn't even mourn about the condition of where you were. Does that sound familiar? Are we in a place right now that most people don't even mourn over the condition of our nation? Right now, the 7 days of July, there's people praying at the house of prayer and all over this nation. For 7 days, they're fasting and praying for our entire nation. And you need to do that also. That the people will turn back to God and God will have his way in the United States of America. And only through prayer and the movement of God's heart is that going to be possible. The condition that we're in right now is horrific. There's more division now than there's ever been. There's more animosity. Jesus is the answer. If anybody tells you anything else, they're wrong. They're living in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and not the tree of life. Because you got the tree of self and you got the tree of life. And God's saying, die to yourself, come alive, be grafted into this vine that will never end, that will go on and on and on and on. Abide in me and I will abide in you. And that's what God is asking. That's what we're contending for. I have phone calls sometimes, weird hours of the day, people in need, people crying, people hurting. So many babies out of wedlock, so many things happening. Because moms and dads, we've all stumbled, we've made mistakes. But a lot of us haven't stood for the truth and we've allowed things, especially some of us that know the truth. And then there's all this pain and conflict and these babies being tossed about here and there and everybody's just in a mess about it. But they never stood up for the truth in their home. They allowed things to happen. God's word is his word and we have to stand upon the truth. There are covenants that God has made with his people. And he says, if you abide in these things, you will be blessed. Now, does that mean that God can't intervene? Of course he can. And of course he can work in broken families. Single moms, single dads, he can do all that. He can do great things. But many times there's such a price to pay with that. There's a better way with God. And this generation needs to know that and stand up for truth that's not popular. That's not popular. We've got professors in an hour or 2 hour radius that are teaching things in their classrooms. They're teaching absolute corrupt evil. There's professors that are saying it's okay to live in this lifestyle. It's okay to live in a gay lifestyle. But we're so concerned about PC that we won't be BC. We're concerned. Oh, I don't want to shake things up. I want to have an opportunity to witness. You want to have an opportunity to witness? Tell them about Jesus. Tell them about who he is. Tell them, if you don't know much about the word, just tell them what he's done for you. Because you overcome him by the shed blood of the Lamb and the what? The word of your testimony. You overcome him. I mean, teaching in the classroom, like, it's just okay to talk about this. About all kinds of defilement about human nature. And then they get off on so much disgusting stuff, I don't even want to mention it here. We've got to stand to be a light no matter where we are. I have blown it just like you've blown it. But God is saying, come on. Come on. Sometimes I think that we have a tendency to fit God in and His Scripture according to how we feel and how we see it. Instead of saying, Lord, please crucify my opinion and my that experience, I'll take it and I'll use it, and teach me that this is the Word of God, that it will remain, and this is what needs to be fueling my steps in my life day in and day out in everything that I do. Lord, give me a hunger for this thing. I don't want to be bored for the Word anymore. I want to know the Word. I want to love the Word. I want the Word to come alive in my life. I want the Holy Spirit to breathe on the Word. I want it to have action in my life. I want to be able to recall it. I want to be able to preach it. I want to be able to teach it. I want to be able to speak it. I want to tell people about the Word of God, which is the truth. And nobody wants to stand up for the truth. And this is the truth. This is the truth. Nobody's going to give you truth if it doesn't come from this. And God's saying, stand up, men and women of faith. Be who God's called you to be. And I say that because there's massive potential in this room. All of you are called. Don't judge each other, love each other. And watch what God's going to do. So the marketplace played the flute, played the dirge. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and you said that he has a demon. See, that's that tree of the knowledge of good and evil now, that tree, that religious tree, saying what he has. Then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Wisdom is going to be vindicated. John the Baptist is going to be vindicated by his deeds. Verse 20. Then he began to denounce the cities in which most of his miracles were done because they did not repent. See, they didn't repent over the miracles. They saw them, but they didn't repent. It says, woe to Chorazin, woe to Bethsaida, for if the miracles had occurred in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Nevertheless, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment, or Sidon, I think that's what it is, in the day of judgment, than for you. And you, Capernaum. I was in Capernaum, and Capernaum was known as, it was like the New York City of that era. And he says to you guys, New York City will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will descend to Hades. For if I'm not saying that New York's going to Hades, okay? I'm just using an example. I like when the Lord like hits me and says, clear that up. So I believe that's him. I can't recall stuff that fast. You will descend to Hades, for if the miracles had occurred in Sodom, listen, in Sodom, which occurred in you, it would have remained to this day. Nevertheless, I say to you that it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. You had it all, but you didn't know. You didn't mourn and you didn't dance. And it's going to be more tolerable in the day of judgment for Sodom and Gomorrah than it is for you. Because I was here. And John told you about me. And you still didn't believe. That's what that is saying. That's what Jesus is proclaiming. Verse 25, at this time Jesus said, I praise you, Father. Here he goes. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. This is just like God. You've hidden these things. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. This is the way you choose to do it, in a humble way. It's almost like, you know, there he is suddenly surprising you. All things, verse 27, all things have been handed over to me. We're going to make it. By my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. And then these wonderful statements of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that he says to you and he says to me. He says, come to me, all who are weary, if you're weary and heavy laden, and I'm the one that can give you rest. I'm the one. No one else can give you rest. I'm the one. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke. For I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find, there's that word again, rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Close with this story. God gave me a vision one time. It was a real clear vision. And he's been recalling it to me lately. And it was a vision that I was in a field plowing. And I had four oxen in front of me plowing. And every one of those oxen were pulling the plow evenly, and they were, every one of them was in sync, in unity, pulling the plow. How do I know that? I know how to look at tugs, that we would call them, that you hook up the wagon to, or you hook up a plow team to, and you would look at the slack, or the how they're all either working together, or some oxen or horse is slacking. I know that because I used to drive four-horse team stagecoaches for Yellowstone National Park, and I always knew when one of my horses was really slacking because of the tugs. So when I looked down, God knew that. God showed me that. I looked down. I saw all four of those tugs pulling evenly together. And down the furrow, down the field was Jesus. And I had my hands on the plow. I was looking at him. I looked down at the oxen. Everything's good. And then the Lord took me to the side and let me see myself on the plow. And it was a chrome-plated plow. It was looked like silver. And this plow had two sets of forks going down into the ground. And the first set was just breaking the fallow ground. It was breaking the ground. The second set went down hugely deep into the ground. And as I was looking, I saw all these men and women just coming forth in this, almost in a powerful way, like coming out of the earth. We were made from dust, and coming out, and they were just coming. And I knew that they were the army of the Lord. I knew they were the army of the Lord. And most of them were young, okay, the young generation. But remember this, that when they crossed over, okay, the Red Sea, it was everybody. And so it's going to take the old, the middle age, and the young to move in this thing in the days forward, okay? But we're going to be in a unity that won't make sense to the world. Because most of the families don't get along, kids and everybody, but we're going to get along. We're going to need each other. It's going to be an army of God. And so the Lord let me see that, and all these, this whole generation. And I remember I was looking. I just keep my eyes fixed on Jesus down the furrow. That's what's happening. The fallow ground is being broke up. The soil is being stirred up. And there's a whole generation coming. Why don't you stand? Let me just pray over you. Lord, I thank you for your word, and I just want to pray your word right here, verse 28, over everyone. You said, Jesus, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I ask, God, for those that are weary here and heavy laden right now, that they would come to you. And Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would bring forth your rest for them. This yoke that I saw on the oxen, it fit perfectly. Fit perfectly across all four. And you said your yoke, to take your yoke upon us, and it will fit perfectly. And we'll learn from you. And that you are gentle. And that you are humble in heart. And you will find rest. We will find rest for our souls. And then you said, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I just want to take just a moment. If you could just, as they're just playing, just be silent and not look around. Lord Jesus, there are many John the Baptists in this room. I ask tonight that you would seal their fate by your Holy Spirit. That they would stand for truth. I'm hoping and believing that all of us are. And that this will be a generation like no other generation. That we will dance and rejoice in you. And we will mourn over the sake of our nation and nations that don't know you, between the porch and the altar. And we're believing for a great holy visitation to Michiana and to many areas. So as we're just letting them play, is there anything you want to say to us, Jesus? Just listen. Also keep speaking to them through the night. In the night seasons, give them dreams and visions. Awaken them. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. And you know, tonight we worshiped. We went through a whole chapter in the Bible together. And I would call that a good day. And so I would just encourage you tomorrow, go through another chapter. And just, if you got to, just find your own little place with your own little headset, whatever you got to do, and worship and enjoy God. God bless you. Go in peace. And may the Lord just keep moving you forward in Him. In Jesus' name. And pray for this house of prayer to be established here, okay? In Jesus' name. Amen.